T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
They suck. Oh, you wanted more, like, analysis? You know what? I think, honestly, it's so crazy. The last game against Cleveland was the best Mitchell Trubisky look. You know, I thought he took some shots down the field, obviously rolling to the right, getting outside the pocket, the pass to George Pickens. I think he throws the dime to Deontay Johnson down the left side, which is the side of the field he doesn't necessarily use a ton. I think the run got going a little bit better. Najee and Jalen could truly be a very good 1-2 punch. I think Warren has a little bit more, Jalen Warren has a little bit more burst than Najee right away. And I think he's able to get to some holes and get to some spaces that Najee is not. But obviously, you know, Najee's the one. I think when you look at the skill set of the skilled players, though, it's underachieving, right? If you line them up, George Pickens, Chase Claypool, Deontay Johnson, Freiermuth, and Najee Harris, this should be an offense that should be able to produce explosive plays and also consistency in gaining first downs and scoring, and they're not. So whether it's Matt Canada, whether it's the offensive line, whether it's Mr. Trubisky, I'm not sure, but I don't think Coach Tomlin can be sure either, and so I believe it's hard to fix because of that.
Well, let's go through some of those things that you just mentioned there, Ryan, that you think make them underachieving and, in your words, suck. I know Matt Canada was not one of your favorites when he was at LSU for that 1 year. What do you see maybe from him that's lacking as far as his contributions or fingerprints on this offense?
Well, let me say this first. I actually like him as a human,
yeah,
as a person. I think when you look at, you take it to LSU, it was just different, right? Mm-hmm. He had certain players that didn't fit what he wanted to do and just an attitude there that was different. But I think when you look at what he does, there is some good stuff, right? Like, mm-hmm, we applaud Mike McDaniels. We applaud Kyle Shanahan. We applaud Sean McVay for his lateral movement, allowing, getting people moving laterally and then now hitting the seams or running the zone in the run, getting into the play action. So nothing's wrong with the way that he uses movements, the way that he uses shifts, the way that he uses motions. Like, all of those things are beautiful. It's what you do after that. When are you going to use the middle of the field? When are you going to throw in the seams inside the numbers? And I think just, you know, getting an offense that works more vertically than horizontally. And I think that's been an adjustment for him. I mean, it was what worked at Pitt. It was kind of what brought him to fame. But it was also because you needed that sort of trickery with the level of talent that you had. And so I think, you know, he still needs to make some adjustments in creativity that goes away from what he's used to. I think back to game one, one of my favorite plays was the reverse in overtime, right? Because it was something that you took a chance on. It was something that was dialed up differently. Mm-hmm. I felt like schematically the way it was implemented was perfect. And I think we need to see more of those things from him to allow this offense, which is not going to just line up and beat you every play, to get some easy plays and some opportunities for explosive yardage.
Ryan, how about the way Mitch Trubisky's holding back their offense right now?
You know, I think part of it is, like, you know, you watch some of Mitch and it's really good. And then, you know, there are other pieces where he's under pressure, where he's so risk averse. He doesn't allow you to, you know, to have an offense that can put up the points you need to win in this league. And then the trouble is, you know, I know you love Kenny Pickett. I don't dislike Kenny Pickett, but I think you have to be very present in mind that you don't put him in a bad situation with kind of a treacherous row of games coming up, an offensive line that doesn't necessarily, they're not as bad as they have been, but doesn't necessarily protect as well as you would like. You want to make sure he's in a position to succeed. And so there's a lot to be desired for Mitch, obviously, statistically and by the eye test. But I don't necessarily know if it's time to make that move to Kenny just yet.
Ryan, when Trubisky comes out after games and talks about, we need more concepts over the middle of the field, we need more deep shots called, yeah, like I want to use my legs more. When he puts it back on the coach and the players in the locker room do the same thing in a very public manner. I mean, this is very un-Steeler. Like Ben would say things and AB would pop off sometimes. But you've got young, mostly unproven guys who after games and during the week want to blame the play caller for what's wrong. I'm just interested in your perspective as a guy that was a leader in that locker room for years, what
I think
feels like to you.
I think the times are different. You know, this is not necessarily the era of accountability. And so I think it's also not the era of like locker room talk is locker room talk. For us, that was taboo, right? It was taboo to place the blame publicly, you know, so much so that even if you knew a teammate or a coach did something that attributed to a negative play that was being blamed on you, you just accepted it because you knew within the building there was enough understanding of everyone's job, of everyone's responsibility, of everyone's contributions that you didn't have to say it. And it didn't matter what the outside perception was. And so I just think that's just part of the times. It's part of the leadership group. You know, I know you mentioned that Ben and AB may have said some things sometimes. Well, you had to remember those two guys are more recent leaders in that locker room than James Ferrier, right? Than Hines Ward, than Jerome Bettis. And so you have these certain sect of guys who grew up under some of those leaders I just mentioned, the Joey Porters and those different players. And so they learned a different way. To whereas as time has gone on, the leaders in that locker room have been a little different. And so you take after those guys. You got to remember Juju was a leader in his locker room and who honestly is largely harmless, right? Like Juju's non-problematic. He's a freaking sweetheart. But when you have people that see kind of the way he lived his life very publicly and they don't understand how to handle it or they have no code of locker room, I think this is what you get. We're in a self preservation time, and that's what these players are doing.
Steelers Super Bowl champion Ryan Clark with us. Ryan, you mentioned risk-averse play from Trubisky. When you watch the Steelers back on film, do you think that's by design, or do you think that's a conscious decision by the quarterback?
I think it's a little bit of both. I think he wants to protect the football. I think that and that is paramount. But I also believe that sometimes you got to tell your quarterback to do it. You know, sometimes you got to dial up that shot. Like, do we think and do you believe that the throw to Nelson Aguilar on Akilu Witherspoon was open? No. But he had a one-on-one and he gave his guy a chance.
Yeah. On third and three.
I would venture to say our three guys in Pittsburgh, in Claypool, Johnson, and Pickens, are better than that dude.
Yep.
But he gave him a chance and he made it play. And it ended up being the difference in the first half and also the difference in the game in totality. And so I think sometimes you have to do that as a quarterback and you have to have that freedom, right? The coach has to come to you and say, look, we get one-on-one with 14 or 11 or 18. We are taking that shot. And I think we saw that a little more last week against the Cleveland Browns. But I think it's something that needs to happen. And also when you have a tight end that is as talented as Freiermuth, why aren't you using shots in the seam?
Until 9 minutes left in the game. It was ridiculous.
Right. Why aren't you using opportunities to get him the football? What all he's done is produce. And you go to him late and he produces again. Why would you wait to do that? And so I just think you have to be smart about your weapons, the way you utilize them, and not getting caught up in what works and what has worked for you and figuring out ways to make that work for the 2022 Pittsburgh Steelers.
And the interesting thing about the Freiermuth thing, Ryan, is that Trubisky praised him for staying, you know, engaged and focused in the game where he was absent for almost 3.5 quarters. And when he said that, he kind of referenced that he thought Pickens and Johnson had sort of checked out at the end of the game. There was the one-handed catch that Pickens tried to make that he didn't. Johnson didn't get lined up. I mean, I think he's trying to lead. They respect him, but I don't know, Ryan. There's just such a disconnect with this offense right now. Yeah, I'm trying to put my finger on who they should follow and why that is.
Well, I mean, I think for the way that you get people to follow you is you lead by example. I don't necessarily think that, you know, praising another guy to put someone down or to point out someone else doing something is necessarily the way to go.
I
maybe
agree.
We're just assuming. Maybe we're just assuming and that's not what he was doing. Maybe he was just truly, you know, trying to say that, you know, Freiermuth did what he should do as a professional. I think there's, like, with receivers, there's always frustrations, right? Because receivers are always open. And so if I'm always open and you're not getting the ball, that ain't my fault. That's your fault. And I don't mean that literally. I mean in their mind.
Yeah. Well, Pickens said I'm open 90% of the time already.
Right, right. You know, and I think when you are George Pickens, you're open when you're covered.
Yep.
Right? Like, if there's only one dude out here, then I'm actually not covered because I'm better than him. I think that's what he feels and what he believes. I mean, he kind of proved it on the play Thursday night with the one-hand grab. The play to get to the ball in the end zone, like, I rewatched it. And in thinking about it, I don't believe his left hand could have gotten on the ball.
Okay.
I believe the only reason his right hand was able to get to it is because obviously you can turn your body sideways and now extend your reach.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you're reaching with two hands, maybe you can dive, but you necessarily, like, you shorten your body up because now you have to have the shoulders parallel to get both hands on the football. And so and the other part of it is too, when you realize you don't need both of them, sometimes you do that.
Yeah.
You know? And so, like, I don't necessarily know if that's a sign of checking out. But, you know, I think these are all products of losing and underperforming.
Yeah.
You don't get these questions if there's one play like that and the team's playing really well and the passing game is elite. It's like, oh, he tried to get to it, but he couldn't. But, man, look at else they've done all day. Whereas when you have that and one play matters so much because you stink, I think it draws a little more attention to it.
We're talking to the host of the Pivot Podcast, Ryan Clark, here on The Fan. You mentioned, if people are just getting into this interview, you said, I see the potential for a dynamic 1-2 punch with Najee Harris and Jaylen Warren, which might strike Steelers fans as a interesting comment because Najee was drafted to just be the dude. The guy, 24th overall pick. Why do you think those guys complement each other, and why should they both be used in tandem, Ryan?
Well, I just think they're so different, you know. And I think we're at a point in this league where you can't have a guy rush for 1,100 and a guy rush for 500. You know what I mean? Nothing's wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Najee Harris doesn't have to have 1,700 yards. It protects his body, keeps him fresh, and you also add a different dynamic. Think about A.J. Dillon and Aaron Jones. And the way that they're used in tandem in Green Bay. Ezekiel Elliott, Tony Pollard, Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt. Is there any question who's the number one in Cleveland to you?
No. No, it's Chubb. But Hunt goes
guess
off.
What? The other guy went to a Pro Bowl.
And led the league in rushing.
And you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And but there's right. And so it doesn't have to be an issue. It doesn't have to be an either or thing. If you are looking at that film and you watch Jaylen Warren, obviously there was the fumble last game that, you know, you wish doesn't happen. But think about the explosive plays that he made. There was another explosive play down the sideline that was called back, right? I think that was the illegal man downfield.
Yep, the shovel play.
You know what I mean? So, like, if you're watching, who's made more explosive plays than him? And I think Najee lacks a little bit of that explosion. Not saying he's not a bell cow or a great back.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying, like, some of those things are different for him. And so if you have two backs that can do two different things and both do them in ways that allow positive gains for you offensively, why not use them? Then, like, don't get stuck in your ego of this guy was drafted in the first round and this guy not drafted at all. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you could still be used. Like, we had two safeties at once upon a time. One was drafted in the first round, the Hall of Famer. One was an undrafted free agent and wasn't. And that tandem worked out because they understood their roles and they did them. And that's what they can do, the same thing at running back, but you can use both of those guys at the same time, different times, use them different ways, different play sets. And I think that will help this offense, you know, kind of have and keep a run game that keeps defenses off balance a little bit.
That undrafted safety is now media star. Can you tell our Steelers fans listening about the Pivot podcast, how often it comes out, the type of people you try to have on your show, the vision for it, Ryan, yeah, where people can get it, all those things?
Yeah, so you, it's obviously on YouTube, the Pivot podcast. It's on Apple. It's on Spotify as well and on audio. And we just we do everything, man. Like, it's obviously a sports podcast because it's three former football players, but from actors to wrestlers to singers, obviously athletes. I think we just try to tell or allow people to tell stories from different angles and in different ways and, you know, and entertain at the same time.
The Tomlin interview, I think, is the best he's ever done. And I'm not just saying that because you're on the phone with me right now. That was amazing.
Oh, no, I think, you know, it's often I'm asked, like, what my favorite interview is. And I say that one, and, you know, it's that weird thing where people do understand you had Kevin Hart on your show, you know, you had Shaquille O'Neal, and you had these other people who are, I guess, bigger stars. But I think personally, to know Mike T and to know that people have never seen that much of it or heard that much from him, and for him to be relaxed enough and comfortable enough to give us those pieces of him to share with the world, man, I think for me, that was what was exciting. And also, it was just dang good.
Yeah.
You know, I think at some point, if there's some university that's intelligent enough to say, you know what, we're going to do a leadership class or just as there's any leadership conferences, I would sit people down and make them watch that.
Yeah.
Because it truly was a very introspective look into leading.
He let his guard down. He was drinking those sponsored drinks that you guys brought in his face. But I loved that, man. That was great.
Yeah, man. I think the word podcast makes people forget the video is rolling.
Yeah. Ryan, this was great. Thanks, man. I appreciate you so much.
All right, man. Have a good one, bro.
You too. See ya.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.